بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى أيضا قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector, and curer. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, O children of Adam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah azza wa jal make us all from the people of taqwa. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, inshallah ta'ala, the topic for today's khutbah is creme de la creme. It is a French phrase that is translated as the cream of all creams or the best of the best. And inshallah ta'ala, we will be focusing on two amazing personalities, two amazing individuals, and they are Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu anhu. They were from the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And in general, the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, were all amazing individuals. And a distinctive feature that is to be highlighted from amongst them is their amazing and unparalleled love that they had for our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much, even more than their own lives, their own children, their own families. Allahu Akbar. And it's no wonder, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is reported to have said, and the narration is recorded in Bukhari, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. الله أكبر. None of you all have truly brought in iman. لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you all have truly believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until حتى أكون أحب إليه, until I become more beloved to him من والده than his own parents, وولده his own children, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ than all of mankind. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. None of you have truly brought in iman until you love me more than your own parents, your own children, and then all of mankind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said this. And our maker, Allah Azza wa Jal, states in the Noble Quran, the ayah that I recited at the beginning, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say unto them, if you'll love Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say this. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. Allah Azza wa Jal will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and He the Almighty will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins. There are many anecdotes, there are many narrations to highlight this special love that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, had towards our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One instance, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was arranging the rows on the battlefield on the day of Badr. On the day of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was arranging the rows on the battlefield. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was straightening the rows and he had a stick with him. He had a stick with him. He was using the stick to straighten the rows, to straighten the soldiers in their ranks. There was one particular sahabi. His name was Sawad ibn Ghaziyya radiallahu anhu. He was in one particular row and his chest was a bit forward. He was not in alignment with that particular row. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him and tapped him on his chest or his stomach with that particular stick that he had in his hand and said to him, go back and be in alignment with the row. The minute the stick of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched the chest or the stomach of that particular sahabi, he cried out, Ya Rasulullah, you have hurt me. You hit me and you have hurt me. And now I wish to take retribution for that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately obliged. Allahu Akbar. He did not say that I am the messenger of Allah. How dare you ask for retribution? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very just individual. Allahu Akbar. He was such a just individual that he is reported to have said that along the lines of these words, that even if my daughter, my beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, were to ever be caught stealing, I would have her hands chopped off. Allahu Akbar. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that sahabi, he gave the stick to that sahabi and asked the sahabi, you may take your retribution, you may hit me. That sahabi, now everybody was looking. Allahu Akbar. Everybody was looking. How dare this individual look for retribution from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How dare this individual do this? But because it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who permitted him and who commanded him to do so, everybody kept quiet. Allahu Akbar. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had donned an armor. He was wearing an armor, whilst that particular sahabi was not wearing an armor. He was bare-bodied. So that sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you hit me whilst I was bare-bodied. But now you are wearing an armor. I want you to remove your armor and expose your chest, your stomach area, so that I can hit you the way you hit me. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he obliged. He removed his armor and he lifted his upper garment, exposing his chest and his stomach. Allahu Akbar. The minute Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that, this sahabi radiallahu anhu, he threw the stick away. He ran towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hugged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he started to kiss the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started to kiss the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Ya Sawad, what made you do this? What is it that prompted you to do this all of a sudden? He replied, Ya Rasulullah, you see what I am seeing. Now we are in the battlefield. We are about to be involved in a battle. I wanted this to be the last moment. In other words, me kissing your stomach, my skin touching your skin, to be the last moment that I enjoy on the face of this earth. Allahu Akbar. This was the pure love, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, had towards our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pure love, Allahu Akbar. And this is why they were the Sahaba, the best of the best. And they were known. Allah Azza wa Jal proclaims, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They are the ones who are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with them. They got this title whilst they were in this world, in this dunya. Such special and outstanding individuals, Allahu Akbar. And they were the companions of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from them, creme de la creme, the best of the best, the cream of all creams, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, Allahu Akbar. Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, is reported to, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, إِنَّ لِي وَزِيرَيْن مِنْ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. I have two wazirs, two ministers, two right-hand individuals from the people, from the inhabitants of the heavens and from the inhabitants of this earth. Allahu Akbar. The two individuals from the heavens are Jibreel and Mika'il alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And the two individuals from this dunya, from this world, are Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say, he quoted an example that they are like an individual's hearing and an individual's eyesight. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was highlighting that they are so important to me that they are like my hearing and my eyesight. Can someone do without his or her hearing or without his or her eyesight? Can we make our way around? It would be so difficult. It would be so difficult. An individual who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with a clear vision, if he were to suddenly go blind, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, he would be in a big fix. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoted an example that they are like an individual's hearing and an individual's eyesight. Allahu Akbar. Such important individuals. And they were the close friends of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So close to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu an, he was an individual with a fair complexion. He had a fair complexion. He had a very slender body. He was an individual with a very slender frame. He was a very thin individual. And his waist was slightly bent. His waist was slightly bent. And this was why his lower garment kept on slipping down. Because he had a slender frame. He was very thin. And his waist was slightly bent. I'm just trying to give you all a mental picture of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His waist was slightly bent. He had a very thin face, because after all he had a slender frame. He had a thin face and he had deeply set eyes. Deeply set, sharp eyes. And he had a broad forehead, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He had no flesh at all on his fingers. In other words, he had bony fingers. And he had curly hair, his hair was curly. He had a sweet, soft voice, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was quick in temper. He had a quick temper, but then he was a master in controlling his temper, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he used to dye his beard with henna. He used to dye his beard with henna, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, was a pinnacle of virtue, Allahu Akbar. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, who amongst you all has attended a funeral before coming to this gathering? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he replied in the affirmative. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, who amongst you all gave out a charity before coming and joining this gathering? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only individual who replied in the affirmative. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, who amongst you all has visited a sick person? This gathering was in the morning. In the morning, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had attended a funeral, had given out charity, had visited a sick person. Iyadatul Marib, he had visited a sick person. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, asked the gathering, who amongst you all visited the graveyard? Allahu Akbar. Once again, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who replied in the affirmative. And then finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, who amongst you all is fasting today? Who amongst you all is fasting today? He, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, replied in the affirmative. Amazing, amazing. In one single day, early in the morning, he had attended a funeral, he had given out charity, he had visited a sick person, he had visited the graveyard, and he was fasting. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, a pinnacle of virtue. Allahu Akbar. He was the close friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very much. He loved him dearly. Allahu Akbar. We see so many anecdotes, so many narrations where he used to accompany Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every single or in most of the expeditions, in most of the events. He, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known as Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was known as al-Siddiq because he used to be truthful, and also because his faith in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like a rock, unwavering. Allahu Akbar. He was the first adult to embrace Islam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about Islam, he did not even bat an eyelid. He did not hesitate. He immediately embraced Islam. And this is why he is known as As-Siddiq. Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now in regard to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, there are many incidents, many amazing incidents about him. And I wish to share one. There used to always be a healthy competition between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. What kind of a competition? A competition towards earning Jannah, towards earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were a team that worked towards attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They worked towards Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So there was always a healthy competition. Whenever Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did something, Umar radiallahu anhu used to also try to do the same thing in terms of good deeds. There was a healthy competition. So one day Umar radiallahu anhu, this was during the khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he noticed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu every single morning, right after Salatul Fajr, he used to go somewhere. He used to go somewhere. So one day, because he kept noticing this, he was very observant, and he wasn't looking to find faults or looking to blemish Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No. Like I said, there was a healthy competition. He was sure that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was doing something special. Something special in terms of good deeds, and he wanted to know what this special good deed was. So he follows Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and both of them go towards the outskirts of Medina. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not know that Umar radiallahu anhu was following him. Umar radiallahu anhu then notices that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu enters a very shabby tent which was pitched on the outskirts of Medina. And after some time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came out and he left the tent. Umar radiallahu anhu went towards the tent. He greeted the people who were inside the tent and entered the tent to see there was an old lady inside the tent. He asked, the minute he entered the tent, the old lady cried out, who is it who has come? Umar radiallahu anhu then said, it is Umar who has come. Then the lady asked him, Ya Umar, what can I do for you? Then Umar radiallahu anhu went on to say, O lady, can you tell me who came just now? Do you know who came just now, just before me? The lady, she then replies, and then she starts to stumble. And that's when Umar radiallahu anhu realized that this lady was a blind lady. Allahu Akbar. She was blind and she was old. That lady then went on to say, Ya Umar, I don't know who that individual is. He comes every single day, every single morning. He comes and he cleans my whole tent. He washes my clothes. He cooks food for me because I have children, small children. I am a widow. I am a widow because my husband has passed away and I am a blind old lady. This good soul, all I know of him is that he is a good soul. He comes every single day, cleans my tent, washes my clothes, cooks my food for me, and then he leaves. He does this on a daily basis. Umar radiallahu anhu starts to weep. Allahu Akbar. He starts to weep and then he says, Oh Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, you have made the office of Khilafah, the office of Khilafah, extremely difficult for the individuals who will come after you. Allahu Akbar. Because there are so many special and secret deeds that we do not know that you are involved in. On a daily basis, my dear, respected elders and brothers in Islam. Now in regard to the death of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he faced death. Just as how our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also faced death. Because after all, you and I, all of us, we are all going to face death. Because Allah azza wa jal has decreed this upon us. He states in the noble Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ That every soul shall inevitably taste death. We are all going to taste death. Now, that is an established fact. But in regard to how or what was the cause of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's death, historians and scholars differ in regard to this. But then there is an opinion that majority of the scholars are upon, and that is that one day it was a very cold day. It was a very cold day, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a bath. He took a bath on a very cold day. That resulted in him falling sick, and that sickness was that which led to his death radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, he is now on his deathbed, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He is on his deathbed. Aisha radiallahu anha was with him, her beloved father, Allahu Akbar. He is crying out, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ Such a close friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a special individual, an outstanding individual. And he cries out, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ Because he is in the pangs of death. He is feeling the pangs of death. Then what about you and I, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? How can we escape that pain and the pangs of death? Let us prepare for death. Because you and I, we are all going to face our Maker very soon. One day, very soon, Malakul Maut, the angel of death is going to come stand in front of us. The question that you and I need to keep asking ourselves, are we ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we ready to meet our beloved Maker? Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then asks for a letter to be written because he did not want any chaos or any confusion after his death. In that letter, he nominates Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu to be the successor after him. Allahu Akbar. He was to be the caliph, the khalifa after him, Umar radiallahu anhu. In that letter he writes, I deem, along the lines of these words, I deem Umar radiallahu anhu to be the most suitable successor after him, because I consider him a righteous and upright individual. So after me, if you find him to be upright, if you find him to be righteous in his judgments, in his rule, then alhamdulillah, I have made the correct decision and I was right in my judgment. But on the other hand, if he falters, if he wavers, if he is not upright, if he commits an error, if he commits a mistake, then know for a fact that he is a human being. He is a human being. He is not perfect. And that Allah Azza wa Jal will judge him, because each and every individual will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And then my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, after a few days, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passes away. Umar radiallahu anhu was nominated as the Khalifa, as the Caliph after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu now inspects the inheritance of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The Khalifa, the ruler, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allahu Akbar. You will think that there will be millions. There will be so much of gold, so much of properties perhaps. You know what he left behind, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? One mule, one donkey, and two garments. Just one donkey and two garments. And what was his wasiyyah? His last will was that one of his garments be used as a shroud for him. Look at the simplicity, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. They could have enjoyed, they could have amassed millions, they could have hankered behind dunya. He was the ruler. Who is going to stop him? But then they understood the reality of this fake and transitory life. They prepared for akhirah. In his last will, he writes, make use of one garment as my shroud and hand over the mule and the other garment to Umar radiallahu anhu with a letter attached, with a small note attached. And you know what was written in that note? Ittaqillah ya Umar. Fear Allah, O Umar. You are also going to experience what I have experienced, i.e. death. Allah. The minute Umar radiallahu anhu read that note, he starts to cry. He starts to weep. And then he says, Ya Aba Bakr, you have indeed made the office of Khilafah extremely difficult upon the individual who is coming after you, Allah. Moving on to Umar radiallahu anhu. He was an individual, a towering individual. He was a tall, well-built, strong individual. He was a wrestler. So he had a very strong physique. Whenever you look at a gathering, Umar radiallahu anhu had a powerful build and a very towering height, Allahu Akbar. It was as if Umar radiallahu anhu was seated on a camel, even though he used to just be standing. He was such a tall and powerfully built individual. Just as how we have incidents to talk about the outstanding qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we have another plethora of incidents of Umar radiallahu anhu. One which I wish to share with you all. Umar radiallahu anhu had this habit of checking on his subjects every single night. Every single night, he used to go around checking on his subjects. One night, he was traveling on the outskirts of Medina, making his usual rounds. He sees a tent pitched up at the outskirts of Medina. He goes to the outskirts, and then he sees a man seated outside the tent. He goes up to him, and he greets him by saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The man replies. Then he asks the man, what are you doing here? Why have you pitched a tent at the outskirts of Medina? What brings you here? Because the minute Umar radiallahu anhu saw him, he identified him to be a stranger, not from the residents of Medina. The man states, I am a traveler. I have come to meet Amir al-Mu'mineen. I have come to meet Umar radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu asks him, have you ever met Umar before? Have you met Umar or have you seen Umar before? The man replied, no, I haven't. This is the first time. I have a problem. I have come to meet him. Whilst they were conversing, suddenly Umar radiallahu anhu hears a groan from the back, from inside the tent. Umar radiallahu anhu asked the man, who is that? What is that groan I hear emitting coming from the tent? The man then replied, that is none of your business. You go, I will sort it out. Umar radiallahu anhu then very strongly says, no, it is my business and I wish to know. I can help you. Then the man said, it is my wife. She is in labor. She is in labor. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Allahu Akbar. Tears start flowing down. And he thinks, during my khilafah, at the outskirts of Medina, a woman is in labor. She is in pain. She is groaning. And there is no one to look after her. How can I be the khalifa? Allahu Akbar. Look at the care, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. But on the other hand, look at the rulers today. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. These were the individuals, and that is why people wish for the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. So just, he runs back home, he rushes back home, he wakes up his wife in the middle of the night. He wakes his wife up in the middle of the night, and he says, my dear wife, do you want to involve yourself in a deed that will attain the pleasure of our Maker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? She readily gets up, Allahu Akbar. In the middle of the night. Today, if we were to try and wake our wives in the middle of the night and ask them to be involved in such a deed, we would get another reply from them. We are to be blamed. We are to be blamed. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the blazing inferno of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. She gets up, she prepares things that are needed for a delivery, whilst he takes some food, some flour, and then they rush back to the outskirts of Medina. Husband and wife working for Jannah. How beautiful. Allahu Akbar. The wife enters the tent and she starts to help the lady in her labor, whilst Umar radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, he prepares, he gathers some firewood, he lights up a fire and then he keeps a pot on the fire, puts the flour and starts to cook a meal. Himself, Amirul Mu'mineen, whilst this man was seated observing all of what was happening. Umar radiallahu anhu lit the fire. He started to blow on the firewood. In that narration, smoke billows through his beard. And then, what happens? After some time, his wife, Umar radiallahu anhu's wife, cries out from within the tent, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen! She cries out, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen! Give glad tidings to your companion that he has been blessed with a baby boy. The minute she cried out, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen! That was when this man came to know that this man in front of me is Umar radiallahu anhu. He was in shock. He completely froze. He did not know what to do. He couldn't believe it. He had come to meet Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen is in front of him, seated on the ground cooking food for him, whilst the wife of Amir al-Mu'mineen is in his tent helping his wife give birth. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Umar radiallahu anhu notices the shock and he says, La ba'as alayk. Don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry, let it be. Just come and sit down. Come and partake of some of the food. He feeds him. He puts some food on a plate and gives it to him. And then he takes some food towards the tent and gives it to his wife, instructing his wife to feed that lady because she was just after delivering a child. Allahu Akbar. These were the outstanding qualities, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Outstanding indeed. 10 years, 6 months after Umar radiallahu anhu had taken the post of Khilafah, there was an individual by the name Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi. There was a complaint that was taken up to Umar radiallahu anhu by this individual that there was a discrepancy in regard to some taxes that have been charged by someone. Umar radiallahu anhu, one of the governors, Umar radiallahu anhu checked the accounts and he deemed it to be appropriate. He said there is no discrepancy and the taxes seem to be fine because he was a non-Muslim, he was a Zoroastrian, he was a fire worshipper, Al-Majusi, Abu Lu'lu'a. And Abu Lu'lu'a was an individual, he was a blacksmith, he used to make windmills, he used to make windmills. Umar radiallahu anhu, after clarifying that complaint and after deeming that tax to be appropriate, he said to Abu Lu'lu'a Al-Majusi, I know that you are a blacksmith and that you make windmills, can you make a windmill for me? Can you make a windmill for me? Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi was in a bad mood because Umar radiallahu anhu had not ruled in his favor. In a very bad and sullen voice, he said, Don't worry, O Khalifa, I will make something for you that the people from east and west will talk about. He said that and he left Umar radiallahu anhu. He goes to his workshop, his area, and he forged a dagger. Allahu Akbar. He made a dagger. A dagger with twin blades. It had two blades at the end. Normally a knife has just one tip. This had two tips. Two sharp tips. Umar radiallahu anhu, after some time, one day, he goes to the masjid to conduct Salatul Fajr. The night before, this individual, Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi, disguises himself and hides himself in the masjid. The masajid of those days, unlike today, we have fluorescent lights, we have LED lights perhaps. In those days, we just had one or two candles. So an individual could hide in the darkness. He hides and waits for Umar radiallahu anhu. The Khalifa used to be the individual who would conduct salah in general. Umar radiallahu anhu comes for Salatul Fajr, he makes his way to the Musalla, and he ties takbir, Allahu Akbar. The Salah begins. Now Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi had a sinister plan, had an evil plan. He wanted to assassinate Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu. He thought of jumping forward now and executing his plan, but then he thought it is still the first raka'ah and people might still come and join the salah. He waits until Umar radiallahu anhu goes to the second raka'ah. The minute Umar radiallahu anhu ties takbir for the second raka'ah and starts his recitation, Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, he jumps forward, runs to Umar radiallahu anhu and stabs Umar radiallahu anhu in his side. Allahu Akbar. And then he stabs Umar radiallahu anhu on his chest. And then finally, he stabs Umar radiallahu anhu under his navel. And because it was a double-tipped dagger, he started to twist the dagger inside the stomach of Umar radiallahu anhu. The minute he stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu under his navel, Umar radiallahu anhu started to bleed profusely and he fainted, he fell down, Allahu Akbar. Immediately the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in rushed to hold Umar radiallahu anhu whilst this individual, Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, tried to run away. In his flight, he injured almost around 13 to 15 Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, stabbing them all over the place. Until finally he reaches the entrance of the masjid, and there was another Sahabi who runs from behind and wraps a cloak around him, his rida, his cloak. Now he was trapped. The minute he knew that he was trapped, he stabbed himself and killed himself, Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi. Umar radiallahu anhu was rushed home. He was unconscious. They kept addressing him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Umar, Ya Aba Hafs. But nothing could revive Umar radiallahu anhu. Until finally, Umar radiallahu anhu, he gains consciousness. And the first question that he asks, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, he could hear the women crying. He could see so much of blood bleeding. He was, in the sense, he was bleeding profusely. He did not ask, what has happened to me? He did not ask, why are all of you all gathered here? The first question that Umar radiallahu anhu asked, what about salah? What happened to the salah? Because he was conducting salah. The first question that he asked was salah. And then he went on to say, because if an individual does not pray salah, does not fulfill his salah, there is no share for him in this deen, in this religion. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, he was bleeding profusely. Umar radiallahu anhu. He knew that these were his last moments. He calls for his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. And he asks Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu to go to Aisha radiallahu anha and to ask her permission that can Umar be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He instructs his son, go to her and don't say Amirul Mu'mineen is asking. Say Umar is asking, because from today I will not be Amirul Mu'mineen. I'm no more the Khalifa. Go and ask her. Umar is asking permission to be buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha was weeping and she grants permission. She had reserved that spot for her to be buried next to her beloved husband, our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and her beloved father Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But then she gives it up. She gives priority to Umar radiallahu anhu, because after all he was the closest companion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Permission was granted. Umar radiallahu anhu, the minute he heard the news that permission was granted, he said, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And then he starts to cry and weep. People ask him, Ya Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? And then he says, woe be unto me. They went on to say, you are the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the companion of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. What is making you cry at this moment? He says, woe be unto me. Woe be unto me. If I had gold to fill planet earth, if I had gold enough to fill this earth, I would ransom it now to free myself from the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great individual, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Who are we in comparison? We fade away in comparison. We are not even worth the dust on their feet. Allahu Akbar. But we walk today on the face of this earth with our chests all swelled up, as if we are not even worried about the anger, about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at these individuals. They were guaranteed Jannah. They were given the title radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. But they feared the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about us then, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? Let us all prepare for death. Let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear the day that we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we think we have lost the fear that we are going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal. We have lost the fear of death. That's why we think we are going to be permanently living in this dunya, which is something that will never happen. Death is inevitable. It is a reality that you and I, we all have to face. And we have to face our Maker very, very soon. So let us prepare for death. Let us prepare for the day that we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive all of our sins. And may He the Almighty accept all of our good deeds. May He help us to emulate our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most perfect of manners. May He the Almighty help us all to stay away from all kinds of innovations.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.